Addiction impacts all of us. Historically, resources for families of addicts and alcoholics have been few and far between. You're listening to the Voices in Courage podcast with K.L. Wells, where we help these supportive families understand the mind of an addict and transform amidst a loved one's addiction. We share hopeful stories, real conversations, and powerful tools, offering support and solutions to escape the chaos of addiction and shift into a life of thriving. We explore the challenges of isolation, shame, and shattered dreams, and share how to take back control of your life. Subscribe at voicesincourage.com and get access to our exclusive newsletter, blogs, and other transformational resources, and discover a growing community to help you thrive. Thanks for tuning in.
Hi, K.L. Wells here. I was reminded this week how important understanding the brain science of change is. So I wanted to touch on that today, because what we are talking about as we navigate this as loved ones, as moms, dads, grandparents, brothers and sisters, friends, dealing with somebody that we love that is it has the disease of addiction or alcoholism, is that we're asking ourselves to change in the midst of all this trauma and desperation and crisis. If we have an intention of going from crisis to struggling, to surviving, and then to thriving, there are change points along the way that are really, really important for us to embrace. And I was, again, like I said, reminded that our brains play a really big role in our ability to perfect the art of change. And so I want to start a little bit with a story that for me was probably one of my personal darkest moments that I chose to really take a hold of and change for myself. And that was one of the moments that this was probably two or three years ago when Sam would get a hold of us and reach out and want money. And I had so many times promised my wife, Patty, that I was going to say no. And then the moment I said that to her, I had held all the conviction that that was exactly what I was going to do. And then the time would come and Sam would ask, I just need 10 bucks for cigarettes or something to eat or something. And those little cash apps on our iPhones, they're addictive in and of themselves. And so I'd get the request and I'd look at it, and I was still in that place personally as his mom that I wanted to do something. I desperately wanted to do something. And what I began to realize was my pain in wanting to do something so desperately drove me to override my promise to my wife, my promise to Patty. And I began to kind of realize that when I hit that 10 bucks yes to Cash App, it was almost as if I was getting a dopamine hit. That was almost like I was addicted to being able to relieve my own pain in feeling helpless and not being able to do something for my son. And so I got really clear in one moment as the tears are falling down my face with Patty and I'm explaining to her, I'm caught here. And I am really struggling to get out of this place of my own pain and get back in alignment with who I am in the world and my promise to her, and to be able to follow through with that promise. And so learning to override that neural pathway in my brain that said, I'm in pain, I want to help my son, and the pain of not helping my son drove me to do things that were not in congruence with who I define myself as being. And so I remember distinctly this moment where I am crying and asking Patty to give me a little bit more grace, give me a little bit more space to figure this thing out and to get on top of it, so that I can be responsible and stand in my own power around his requests for money. So I needed to take this on for myself in terms of the change that went with this. And this was big, big in a way that I really needed to rewire myself. I needed to remember what happens to your brain when you are actually in the throes of going from a behavior and thoughts that you have been employing for a while to change thoughts, to change behavior. And my intention was to flip the script. It was to go from, I'm in such pain that I'm compelled to hit the Cash App to send him money so that I get an immediate relief from doing that, which in all honesty, within 5 minutes is followed by my drop in realizing that could be the last $10 I send him. And I have just lied to my wife and I have not done what I said I was going to do. So I may get a momentary relief, but it's very quickly going to be followed by another sort of pain. So I needed to rewire where the pain resided, and I needed to rewire my ability without a shadow of a doubt, be able to get that request, have nothing happen with me internally, and for me to very clearly and distinctly say no and follow through and make sure that those actions are alignment with what I say I'm going to do and what I do. And so here's what I know to be true. Most of us have been here, whether it's giving them money, whether it's giving them a consistent roof over their heads, whatever the enmeshed or enabling behaviors are that we are embarking on with our adult children in particular, or our spouses, or any adult that's in our life that is dealing with addiction or alcoholism, is we are doing those things to relieve our own pain. Get clear about it and get clear that that may be the last money you give them or the last time you fill their car. Because at any moment, this is Russian roulette, people. It could be the last time you see them, talk to them, have contact with them. And I would rather say no than be responsible for my son's death if he overdoses on fentanyl, if he has a car accident, if he has any multitude of things that take place because of this disease. I want to be able to live with myself in those moments. And so I chose to rewire and to get super lined up with my commitment to Patty and saying no to my commitment to Sam, whether he liked it or not, because really mad and furious and all the things, to say no, because I knew intellectually that that might be the last time, that that actually could be the money that kills him. And then I needed to change it in my heart. And that's probably the hardest, is to rewire the connection. I loved him so deeply that I was willing to say no. And I leaned into no means I love you. And I needed to, in order to override my brain, because when we start to change behaviors and thoughts, our brain is wired to protect us. And change to our brain says we're in danger. So our brains start to come up with stories, start to go wonky on us, start to talk us out of it, because our brains think we're in danger by making these kinds of changes. And so I needed to let my brain know that I appreciated it in doing its job and that I had this. And I needed to consistently do that over a period of time so that eventually it would get super clear that we were creating a new pattern. And I was creating new neural pathways in my brain that said and lived into behaviorally, no means I love you. No means I love you. And in my heart, that's where I was able to settle. So I want to, again, drive this point home relative to understanding your brain. I call it the operating system, is that anytime you want to make a significant change, it takes immersion in what it is that you want to create. It takes clarity in what it is that you want to create. It takes commitment in terms of what you want to create. So I had a very clear vision, commitment, idea, behaviors that I was going to live into. And as my brain started to get wonky and try to talk me out of it and do all the things that it does to protect me, I let it know that I appreciated what it was doing and that I had this. We were safe. And then I would proceed. And slowly but surely, this was probably over months, actually, once I realized what was really, really going on, that I was able to override my brain and the operating system to the point where it got super clear and the pathways were created of no means I love you. No means I love you. No means I love you. And so as I'm saying this out loud to you, again, I'm strengthening those neural pathways in my brain. I'm continuing to train it to know that that behavior, those thoughts support my ability to say no when Sam asks for money in the future for as long as we both live. And it's been a really challenging, to say the least, experience to override with intentionality what I think most parents have been trained to do, and that is to fix it. It's just for me, the fixing it part, it dropped into a different level below that fix it part, where actually I clear that it was my own pain of watching my son suffer and desperately wanting to do something. And that something was relieving my pain. At the bottom of all of this, it was about me relieving my pain. And so I needed to override that importance and do what was absolutely the best thing for my son. So if you get anything out of this today, is to know that when you set an intention to change your thoughts about some part of this disease and your part in it, changing your thoughts is the beginning path to changing your behavior. And it's super important to get clear about what's the behavior that you want to create. What's the level of commitment on a scale of 1 to 10? If you're not an 8 or above, you're not going to get there. And then what are you going to do to keep it front and center for yourself so that you are almost immersing yourself in this new thought pattern, this new behavioral pattern, so that it becomes embedded and new neural pathways are created? And so a couple tools and techniques that I use is the alarm on my phone. You can write things in there if you set alarms. And so for a while there, I wrote alarms that said, no means I love you. I would have alarms go off 4 times a day. No means I love you. No means I love you. No means I love you. And I ran that, those alarms for a long time. I just wanted it embedded in my brain that that was the new thought. And therefore there would be new behaviors that went with it. I also kept it front and center, like up here on my wall behind this laptop. I kept it front and center, what my intention was, what my behaviors were going to be, and that I was doing this as an override to what I'd been doing previously. So I kept my intention, the clarity around what I wanted to create, front and center, very visible through my alarms on my phone, through I sit at my computer quite a bit during the day. There were a few times where I would put sticky notes in my car. It's keeping it front and center from a visual perspective because I'm a visual person. And then knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt, when my brain started to get wonky, I was in control. It was not in control. And so if a thought went through, oh, you know, you want to give him money, you're going to feel better, anything along those lines, I go, thanks. I know you're trying to keep me safe. Thank you for doing your job. And I've got this. I've got this. And no means I love you. And I just kept running that pattern until it became how I thought and how I behaved. And lo and behold, I would get calls or somebody would call me or something would take place. I would get Cash App requests and I would just ignore them, or I would ignore the phone call, or I would say no. And I knew when I said no, that that was the most loving thing I could do for him. That was the most loving thing I could do for him. And so that was the most loving thing that I could do for me. So I encourage you to play with this, think about this, write about this. Think about what's one of the behaviors and thoughts that you have that enables your spouse, your child, your parents, your brother, your sister, your friends to continue to be in the disease of addiction or alcoholism. What's one thing that you can do to take your own power back that says, I love you, that overrides your feeling of hopelessness, helplessness, feeling of pain of watching your loved one suffer? This is big work. And I really honestly do believe, most recently in conversations that I've had with Patty, my wife, that the gift of Sam's addiction has, beyond a shadow of a doubt, created a closeness and a strength amongst the two of us that is unbreakable at this point. That I don't honestly know would have happened if it hadn't been for Sam's disease. So that's another thought that I carry with me, is deep gratitude for the challenge, the drop to my knees, the heartbreak, being cracked wide open, looking at life differently, looking at my life differently, Patty looking at her life differently, us looking at our life differently as a married couple because of the disease that Sam has and has struggled with. So this was a big one today. And it's been rolling around in my head as something that I felt was important to bring to our community today. And just an update real quick. Sam is currently 166 days clean from fentanyl and has moved across the country, is working, and appears to be loving life. He did it for himself this time. And as you listen to the podcasts and you listen to our coaching sessions, you realize that the turning point for almost all of the addicts and alcoholics that I've known, certainly including my son, has been the moment where you did it for yourself, where you took your life back for you. And so I encourage you, based on my story today, to take your life back for you as a loved one, as a mom, as a dad, as a sister, as a brother, as an aunt, as an uncle. Take your life back for you so that you can be the healthiest version of love when and if your loved one pops out the other side of their addiction into clean and sober. That's what I wanted for Sam, was that he could come home to love and a healthy mom, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically. So I hope this has been helpful for you today. This has been a big one for me. And just sending you all my love, all the grace that surrounds this journey for you. And until next month, you're in my heart. Thank you. See you next month. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on this episode. If you're looking for help to go from surviving to thriving in the midst of chaos with the right tools and resources, subscribe at voicesencourage.com. We encourage you to share with friends and family going through similar situations, so we can continue to build a strong community of hope and possibility. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.